This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 8:09 on a Thursday night. Sports to the Max. Steve Thompson and the Hammer, Craig Schrepfer, our program producer, worked with the Hammer for a long time. And always good to see him. Mike Max headed for the Final Four in San Antonio. As a matter of fact, he's on the ground in Texas, and we'll visit to Maxie a little bit later on in the hour as we set the stage, which should be a great Final Four. I think you've got all the storylines you could want going into this Final Four. You got a Big Ten team in Michigan. I like John Beilein a lot. He's been one of my favorite coaches in the conference for a while now. And he has the Wolverines, Loyola, Chicago, the Cinderella story, and then, of course, a couple of very good, couple of blue bloods in Kansas and Villanova. So good Final Four. Mike Max joining us later on in the hour. A couple other headlines. Twins fall in the opener to the Orioles, 3-2-11. Twins get two runs in the ninth. They come back. They force extra innings. And then ultimately, Adam Jones hit a home run off Fernando Rodney. First pitch of the 11th. Orioles win it 3-2. Tomorrow's a day off. Twins and Orioles back at it on Saturday. Kyle Gibson will get the start. Our coverage begins Saturday at 4:30 with the season premiere of the Twins Magazine show. A lot to like about the Twins Magazine. Where are they now? Former Twins catcher and current Toledo Mudhens hitting coach Brian Harper will join us on the Twins Magazine show, and so much more. And then, of course, Chris Atterbury in our pregame show at 5:30. Corey Provis, Dan Gladden with the play-by-play at 6:05. Game two of the three-game set Saturday here on CCO. Wolves on the radio tomorrow night. They play the Mavericks in Dallas. We'll be on the air at 7 with John Fokey, Alan Horton with all the play-by-play as the Wolves continue their playoff push. So, home of the Wolves, home of the Twins, CCO Radio. Right now we're going to talk a little Minnesota United FC. Manny Lagos, sporting director, joins us on the line. And Manny, you've got to be thrilled with the start for the club. I know not the result you had hoped against New York Red Bulls, but the club a little shorthanded. But two wins in the first three, you've just got to be thrilled. And particularly in the opener, you look at the comeback late in the match and almost stealing a point on the road in San Jose. So all in all, a very positive start for the Loons this year.
Yeah, it really has been some really good energy. The guys have really embraced, you know, the fact that we have to go on the road usually more than home games. And, you know, it really, to me, the game I liked the most was going down to Orlando, you know, our current head coach's former team. But just the way we played, the resiliency we showed, I think it's just really exciting. Obviously, we have a long ways to go. Certainly, this weekend's been exciting. But the guys have really performed really well on the road. And our first home game was just, for the fans, for the team, a really nice win.
Yeah, no doubt. And the weather cooperated beautifully for that home opener. Really a 180 from the first ever game for the Loons in MLS with the snow falling. It just really was a great day, and the support for this club continues to build.
It's unbelievable. I mean, to have that Lower Bowl sold out, 23,000 people showed up cheering, excited, enjoying the atmosphere, it means a lot to the players. You know, we are just getting started, I think, at building this club and building what kind of culture we're going to have, and that culture includes this community, it includes these fans, and really the guys in the field are feeling it. I mean, they're really feeling like they're supported, and I think that translates to us playing really well on the field at home.
Yeah, the fans have really responded and are coming out to TCF Bank Stadium. But I know you, everyone associated with Minnesota United FC are chomping at the bit to get into Allianz Field. I visited with Chris Wright a number of times about that project. I know we've talked about it. As it continues to rise in the Midway area of St. Paul, This is going to be an extraordinary home advantage. It's going to be an extraordinary fan experience. I mean, the renderings, the fact that this thing's just going to be packed to the rafters for every match, it's going to be cool.
I get chills every time, and I will not get old talking about it for the next year. You know, I had a chance to speak the construction workers over there. You know, had a quarterly meeting. It's a safety meeting, but it's also to kind of give an update. And I got to be the guest speaker to that group, and it was to just be able to tell them, you know, having grown up a half a mile from there, knowing how the stadium is going to transform that awesome Midway neighborhood that it's got so much diversity. That the stadium's going to have this beautiful park that's going to be there for the community, combined with, you know, it's going to put us on the global map because soccer is such a global sport in a way that I know people will appreciate and love, but I don't think they realize how important this is for us in terms of how we kind of enter the global stage from a soccer perspective. And again, to not only talk about this stadium being built, but to really truly say, we will have the very best soccer stadium in the United States of America. It's such a cool thing, a source of pride.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure on the player side, that's going to be a help. As sporting director, I know it's all about bringing in talent, upgrading talent, constantly looking for players. And I think to have a facility like that and an atmosphere like that will aid you in your job in continuing to move the Loons forward.
It's massive. I think as we try to recruit and build players who want to be here, want to be part of this project, I don't think anybody, as the MLS goes, by the way, and more players throughout the world want to come to this league in America, and then to have a stadium like ours to really show people that this is the place that you want to apply your trade, it's exciting. And again, for our listeners, we know the other side of it. We know how great this community is. We know how great and proud we are of the quality of life that we have here. That's a great sell for us. But to combine that truly with the stadium, we think gives us a huge competitive advantage. And I was just in Orlando, and I say this passionately. I know our fans are excited. I just don't think they know what's coming. Just having seen a soccer-specific stadium in Orlando, seeing that atmosphere, just how loud and intense the stadium and the games was, the relationship with the fans, and the players, and I'm very proud that I think our fan base is better and more passionate. So I think what's coming is going to be amazing.
All right, Manny, let's talk players right now. As we mentioned against the Red Bulls, the club was shorthanded. And this is a learning experience because players go off for international play. They come back. As we move forward, will the Loons be getting some of these players back in short order?
We do this weekend, and one of the things I'd like to say is, you know, this is an international break the last week when we played the Red Bulls, and you can elect to play or not. We essentially are forced to play, and TCF sure. is a great home, and they've been a great partner of ours, but we have to get our dates in when we can, and we can't really comply to international dates just because of the usage of TCF's bank. It's not just for us, obviously. It's for sure. football is the main tenant. So next year, we probably won't be playing on last week in the state. And the reality is we have a great Costa Rica international who's our captain who went to go play for Costa Rica for a couple games. We had a Finnish national team player, a New Zealand national team player, a couple injuries. So last weekend, I thought we put up a great fight. You know, we ended up 3-0 in the end was a final score. But again, we had two rookie defenders start in our back line. A brand new back four played last weekend. You know, and I thought we did well. I thought we really did at times have good moments in the game. We weren't quite competitive enough. I don't think we deserved to win the game, but I think we showed well enough that we're going to start to get deeper. Those guys got good minutes. So I think as we grow through the season and have injuries, I think we're going to deal with the adversity better. And certainly this weekend, different. We'll have those guys back. We'll have a couple of our guys who are injured, hopefully healthy by Saturday. For Atlanta, and that's a different beast in itself because Atlanta's very, very good in the league.
Yeah, and Atlanta is really one of the great success stories of Major League Soccer, and they were able to build something down there. The fan support is incredible, and it shows the strength of this league. What's going on here in Minnesota and what's going on in Atlanta shows the excitement around Major League Soccer.
It really does. And obviously, that the latest franchise team was sold for $150 million in Nashville. The next one will go for $200 million. I think it's either the Cincinnati, Sacramento, or one of those areas. And that's just exciting to kind of see the type of investors, the type of people involved, and the type of fan bases. You know, really, for me, I've certainly talked to you many, many years on the radio, and I'm one of the old guys now. I'm actually out of the demographic of our current fan base. But that's actually a positive. I mean, it's a positive because we've got these great, young, energetic fans that really provide an atmosphere that I think is one of the best in all of sports, of any sport. So Atlanta, credit to them. You know, they're getting consistently right now some of the top five crowds in the world at almost 70,000 a game, and sometimes that's even on weekdays. So it really, really is an impressive situation going in Atlanta right now.
And Manny, you brought something up earlier which really piqued my interest and I think is interesting. There's a lot of people that look at, you know, the top leagues around the world and, you know, the elite players that that play in Europe and in Great Britain. And are we going to see at some point, is it 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, is there a tipping point where maybe Major League Soccer is able to compete for players on that level, or are we further out?
Well, I would say the exciting thing is we're already there from a tipping point of we are probably the top seven leagues in the world in terms of the resources, sure, and salaries we put into player and transfer fees. The six that are ahead of us are leagues and teams that have been around for 75 to 100 years, and sure, they have loads of infrastructure, loads of recruiting, loads of wealth within their city to really build revenues that I don't think we can compete with in the short term. But there is no doubt, because of the way the league is growing, because of the stadiums, because of the quality of life in the U.S., players more and more want to come here. They want to be here. The challenge for us is to both develop that talent now, where now we're saying the best talent starts here, as well as the best talent ends here, and hopefully we can keep that best talent in the middle. But realistically, the exciting thing is every time we pass the market, a global market, that's just another pool of players that we're starting to recruit from to come here that builds that product, that builds us as competitive as some of the best leagues in Europe. And it's coming. It's happening. I can't predict how fast. I just know with the type of ownership groups, the type of resources going into it, and obviously the type of interest now to play in MLS, I think we'll very quickly be one of the top five leagues in the world, and I think we'll very quickly be competing with the Premier League, with Spain, with Italy, in terms of relevancy in the global market.
Wow. It's just incredible to see how things turned for Major League Soccer. And now the demand for the franchises, and I'm sure the battle for players. And as you talked about, it's so different than what we see in the NFL or in the NBA or in the NHL or, for that matter, in the major leagues, that literally it's a global game, and you're battling against dozens and dozens and dozens of teams and other leagues all over the world. That's got to be an exciting challenge for you, Manny, and everyone associated with the Loons.
I really love it, and I love the fact I try to explain that the global soccer player market is almost like the stock market, and we're still not there yet. But, for example, they don't really trade players as assets. They trade the player's value. So we're starting to do it all the time. A lot of teams are buying young players $2, $3, $4 million. With the idea that those players will be worth, if we want to sell them to Europe, for, you know, 10, 11, 12 million, 15, 16 million. For example, the player in Atlanta, who is one of the better players in the league now, he had an offer to go to Europe for 30 million. The club turned it down. They bought him for 13 million. So you're starting to see that we're getting into this global market. What that'll do is it just gets more and more young players that want to come to this league, become superstars. And that's what we need. We really need to be part of that global transfer market where the revenues are there, but we also attract the best young talent to really push the level of the league.
All right, Loons home, Atlanta United FC, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, TCF Bank Stadium, and then some more time on the road, and as the weather warms up, more home matches for the Loons at TCF Bank Stadium, and great crowds, hard to beat the crowd for the opener, full lower bowl, And I would assume, and we brought this up with Chris as well, that still time to jump into season tickets and ensure a spot at Allianz Field?
I do think so. I think you got to act fast from what I hear. Obviously, Allianz Field is going to be sold out. They are trying to accommodate as much of the fan bases and new fans as possible. They're trying to keep as much of the single-game tickets within reason open. I think very closely they will be sold out of their season tickets for Allianz. So it's one of those ones where you get really excited, but you also never get to the point where you don't want to leave any fans out. And I think that's what's going to happen here as we go through this year is, Allianz is going to be a little bit less of a capacity than TCF. So hopefully in a good way, there'll be some good, waiting periods, but hopefully we can get as many fans to see as many of the games as possible in the coming year. So, and I would say this weekend, this is the team that took it to us our opening game in MLS, and it's you try to keep emotion out, but the reality is it's an emotional game, and ironically, it's going to be a cold one, and we really hope our fans embrace that side of Minnesota. I know we want spring, I know we want warm weather, but this is a winter soccer game this weekend, so it'll be unique, similar to our opener last year. And we're playing the same opponent, so hopefully we really put a good showing on and change and turn around from last year's result.
Always great, Manny. Thanks.
Likewise. I really appreciate it.
All right, there he is, Manny Lago, Sporting Director, Minnesota United FC, the website MNUFC.com. The Loons take on Atlanta Saturday night, 7 o'clock. It's 8:25. Sports to the Max continues in a moment. Twins fall in the opener 3-2 in 11 innings. Jake Odorizzi outstanding in a starting role, but it got into the bullpen. Twins ultimately tie it with two in the top of the ninth. And then in the bottom of the 11th, Adam Jones homered off Fernando Rodney. And the Twins fall 3-2 today at Oriole Park in Camden Yards. And they'll take the day off tomorrow and resume play with game two of the season and game two of the three-game set on Saturday. Our coverage begins at 4:30 with the season premiere of the Twins Magazine show, including former Twins catcher Brian Harper scheduled to join us. Look forward to our chat. Brian Harper, now a hitting instructor for the AAA Toledo Mud Hens, the top affiliate of the Detroit Tigers. So Brian Harper, a hero of that 1991 World Championship Minnesota Twins team, joining us on Saturday. Chris Hatterberry, pregame show 5:30, and the first pitch at 6:05 with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden here on the home of the Twins. 3-2, the final in 11 innings. Here's the winner from Adam Jones.
And first pitch swinging is Adam Jones and crushes the left, and good. Adam Jones and the Baltimore Orioles have walked off the Twins here. The bottom of the 11th inning on the first pitch.
And we have a chance for you to go to the Home and Garden Show. Eighth caller right now wins a four-pack of tickets to the Home and Garden Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center, and it runs this weekend. March 30th through April 1st, and then again April 6th through the 8th. Once again, on the line, a four-pack of tickets to the Home and Garden Show at the Minneapolis Convention Center coming up the next two weekends in downtown Minneapolis. Eighth caller, 651-989-9226 is the winner of the tickets. We'll take a break. We'll go to the Final Four in San Antonio, talk to Mike Max, who traveled down there, and of course the Final Four coming here. 1 year from now, an intriguing Final Four, to say the very least. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that and much, much more in a moment here on the CCO.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
We're on the brink of the Final Four in San Antonio, Texas, and a very intriguing Final Four. And Mike Max, deep in the heart of Texas for the Final Four. Maxie, it's got to be exciting to be there.
You're starting to hop, boy. We got guys around here. They're playing the guitars here, serenading. We're at a Mexican restaurant here that's Pure San Antonio, and lots of tall people are walking around on the plane coming down and whatnot. A lot of those folks, Steve, that goes, you go, I'm not sure what it is, but they sure look familiar,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mike, San Antonio is really a neat city and great for a Final Four.
Last time I was here was, it goes quick, 21 years ago. Gophers came down here. Dave Lee was with us, and Sid Hartman, and so some things don't change. You know, the more things change, but they're playing first Clemson and then UCLA. And that was year they're the number one seed, of course. And so their high expectations, they went to Kansas City, won two quickly against Southwest Texas State and then Temple. Came down here and got into a real shootout with Clemson and went double overtime. And Bobby Jackson and Sam Jacobson were outstanding that night. And to see the contingent from Minnesota that came down through that thing is probably one of my all-time, at least top five highlights that I can remember covering sports, because just the feeling of pure Minnesota, all these people on. Now, you had an idea because they're a number one seed, they had a chance to make it, but you got to make your travel plans rather quickly when you don't know if a team's going to advance. Yeah. And the number of people that showed up for that thing and were all over the maroon and gold and the folks that you met. And sitting having dinner with Dave Lee and Sid Hartman on the Riverwalk was priceless. And then they came back and beat UCLA that Saturday to qualify for the Final Four in a spot against Kentucky. And it was crazy. It was, you know, that was a good game as well. Ed O'Bannon was playing for UCLA at the time, and Steve Lavin was a very young coach at the time. He had just taken over because they had some disruption in their programs through NCAA infractions. And that was a good game, but Minnesota was finally in the Final Four for the first time ever. And that whole day down here was just, it was beautiful weather and everything came together. And, you know, usually things don't work out, you feel like, as a Minnesota sports fan, but that week they did. And everybody that was here, it was an unforgettable trip. Then they flew back to Williams Arena, and we were on the same plane with the Gopher team. And we had a long delay because they had to burn fuel because there's so many people on there for weight restrictions. I remember Sid Hartman turning to me, and he says, "Tell you what, this plane crashes and UCLA ends up in the Final Four after all."
Wow. Mr. Positive.
You know, the way that mind works. But we got back and Williams Arena was waiting, and it was packed with people. You know, it was just open to the public, and it was oversold, so to speak, or at least it was beyond capacity crowd, and that team came in there for a curtain call. And the fans were chanting, "Beat Kentucky, beat Kentucky." I mean, those are chills up the spine kind of moments if you're a Minnesota sports fan that we've never seen since. And they can say they vacated it and all that stuff, but I was there, and it was a pretty cool deal.
Yeah, and Maxie, I remember it so well. My dad and brother were down in San Antonio for that. They were part of the big Minnesota contingent. And I remember watching that game, and I couldn't believe it took me several hours to process the idea that Minnesota was in the Final Four.
Yeah.
And,
yep,
and you know what I'm talking about. I couldn't get over it.
It's always supposed to be somebody else. It's supposed to be Duke and North Carolina and, you know, Kentucky and you name them, you know, but it's not supposed to be Minnesota, and it was. And, of course, they went to Indianapolis then, and I was doing the Clem Haskins show at the time, so I got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff during that period of time where I could go to the closed practices and whatnot, and it was kind of a fascinating to watch. And if you remember, you know, Clem could have run for governor at that juncture. I mean, the people were all, you know, they had four first-round picks on that team. Quincy Lewis, Sam Jacobson, John Thomas, and Bobby Jackson all ended up being first-round picks. Courtney James might have had an outside chance to be one, too, had he stayed in school. But, I mean, that tells you the quality that they had. And, you know, since then, I guess they had Prisbilla and Chris Humphreys a long time ago, the only first round picks that have come out of there. You know, you talk about teams that make it, not that you have to have, but if you got some first round picks, you got a chance to do some damage.
Mike Max from the Final Four in San Antonio. And Mike, the Final Four is going to be here in a year. We kind of just got over the Super Bowl. Final Four is a biggie. It's not quite the Super Bowl, but it's still a big deal.
You just said it. It ain't the Super Bowl, and nothing compares to the Super Bowl. This is a little bit different crowd, but I think that with Minnesota having just run the Super Bowl, and we're going to meet up with Kate Mortensen and her group down here that are heading the committee and had some conversations with them already, I think it really offered some opportunities is how to take advantage of Nicollet Mall, and it's not going to be as big and as fast, but the convention center can serve as the fan fest, and there's a lot of things you can do, plus you get the benefit of nicer weather than you get during the Super Bowl, even though we embrace that this time. You know, you should be pretty good walking around weather, and you know, it was nice enough in first week in April, you know, it shouldn't be too cold, can be sometimes, It should be festive. Now, it's also different because it is a corporate event, certainly the Final Four, but you get that whole college factor that you don't get for the Super Bowl. You get the college kids that are all going to road trip in here and have a good time and, you know, take over downtown Minneapolis to an extent. And that's fun stuff to embrace as well in a different way.
Yeah, and this Final Four, Loyola Chicago takes on Michigan. I want to pause and talk about John Beilein, the head coach in Michigan. I've liked this guy since he came onto the scene at Michigan. This guy does a phenomenal job.
He does, and you said it. You know, him in the championship game a few years ago, they lost to Louisville. Gorgie Jang playing for Louisville at the time, and obviously he's had some players Hardaway and Robinson that have made the NBA. But they know exactly who they are, what they want to be, and what they want to do. And then obviously they peaked at the right time here going into this tournament, but they played well throughout. Got a, you know, a few teams knocked off that helped set them up in the tournament. But you just said they're really well coached, and really well coached teams give themselves a chance to win. And you know what John Beilein is going to do to you, but they're going to do it well enough that if they make shots, they win. And they put themselves in a position to get good looks consistently. They get good open looks. And if the ball's falling for them, especially three-pointers, they're going to beat you.
And then Loyola Chicago, Cinderella at the Final Four. That is quite a story, Max.
Yeah, everybody loves this
one.
I mean, I think it's so cool if you can have one of these every year. Some years you don't. Butler took that stage for a couple of years, of course, when Brad Stevenson was coaching there and went to the finals 2 years in a row. And Loyola Chicago, I mean, they've just been an afterthought for a long time in terms of from here. Although there's a lot of Minnesota kids that go to school, I think, at Loyola Chicago over the years. So there's probably a pretty good Minnesota base, or that's the closest attachment that we probably got to this Final Four. But to see them come from nowhere and in the inner city of Chicago, and you got DePaul, Loyola, Northwestern in that area, as you know, Steve, but you never thought of these guys as contenders. You don't pay much attention to them. And I think their nun is better known than their head coach right now.
Exactly. And then a couple of blue bloods, Kansas and Villanova. That should be, that's tremendous. Couple of number one seeds.
Yeah, but it is interesting. Either Michigan or Loyola are going to be in that championship game on Monday night. But Villanova, obviously well coached, and Coach Ray could have been. He'd go to a lot of different schools over the years, but he stayed there in large part because of his family. And as he turned that into a winner, Kansas, of course. I was kind of rooting for Duke because I wanted to see Kerry Trent Jr. get here from Apple Valley, and all that would have gone with that. And from a coverage standpoint, it would have been fun to talk to Krzyzewski about his Apple Valley connection and what he's done with it at Duke there. But, the ball didn't roll in for Bryce Allen at the end of the game, and it almost did, and they're here. And if not, you go to overtime, and they get beat by a good Kansas team, and bring it on. Bill Self's done a great job at Illinois and then down there as well. He's really done a great job producing year in and year out. What they've done with that conference tournament and everything, winning the conference. Steve, again, a lot of Minnesotans end up going to Kansas, and you always know Kansas. How do you know if they went to Kansas? Because they'll tell you. I mean, Rock Chalk Jayhawk this time of year, right? And they've got all their stuff on, and you can see the pride that school has.
Should be a lot of fun in San Antonio. Maxie, a couple other stories you want to get your thoughts on. Twins open up in Baltimore, ultimately fall 3-2-11.
Yeah, Andrew Jones got Fernando. I didn't want to run him out there another inning. But what a baseball game. And Odorizzi, how well he pitched.
Yeah.
I mean, six innings like that and just a shutdown, two hits. And Zach Duke got tagged a little bit there. But other than they did everything well except couldn't come up with maybe a clutch hit there. And they had a couple of chances. But encouraged by the pitching and the way that went together today. Obviously, it's just one game. But so fun. Have baseball back and have it occupying our airways. It turned out for about 5 hours this afternoon, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Paul and Jordana were waiting to go on the air, and then we went to the 10th, and then we went to the 11th, and they were done. So Adam Carter took over for the news after the game. But, you know, that's how it goes. You never know when it's going to end.
We'll make those adjustments any day.
Yeah. Twins. Yeah, it was quite a ball game. Twins fall 3-2. And then Bob Motzko, we knew he'd take over the Golden Gopher men's hockey program. He met the media today over at the U. Bob's a good guy.
Yeah, he's just a regular guy.
I mean,
you meet Bob Motzko, he walks into a room, you're not going to pick him out as the head hockey coach, and I think that's the way he likes it. He's probably going to bring in some older players, some junior players. That's the magic that he had in St. Cloud, the ability to identify some of those guys that you don't have to get all the thoroughbreds from Minnesota. But Yeah, a regular guy. I hope he can keep Mike Gensel and Scott Bell around. They've been a big part of that, or at least give them the option to. But it seems like that should be a fairly seamless transition. He knows Don Lucia well. He knows the program well. He was assistant coach here. He knows this area very, very well. Honestly, I never, you wouldn't think you'd say this 10 years ago. But aside from the money, I'm not so sure it's a coin toss between whether or not you want to be at St. Cloud or Minnesota. I think those programs are pretty even right now in terms of desirability, except for the money you get paid to be the coach of the Gophers.
Well, and I learned today that Bob Modzko was not cut once but twice by Brad Beuto once upon a time over at
the
U. I had never heard that story, and he told it today, and I'm thinking to myself, that's a great story. This guy got cut twice by Brad Beuto. How about that?
It's a great story for everybody here because it doesn't mean your life's over when you get cut or you don't make the travel team or whatever it is in life, right?
Yeah, for sure. Maxie, Sunday morning sports huddle should be interesting. You'll be
you
in
San. You and me and Sid, buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
St. Peter will join us at 10:45. That's confirmed. I will see what I can line up from down here. I'll have a couple of things lined up from down here, and we'll get them to the pregame, right?
Yeah, with 11 o'clock, the Twins take over. They got a noon start in Baltimore. But, you in San Antonio, Sid here, and I think I was brought in to keep an eye on Sid.
What could go wrong? I'll have some stuff from down here for sure, though. We'll have a lot of fun with that. I'm really looking forward to that, and I'm so glad to hear that you're coming in because now I know everything's safe and we're good.
Well, the old story, just try and keep it out of the ditch.
Oh, and Richard and Amir Coffee the other night, we ran into them at J.D. Hoyt celebrating his birthday, and they committed to 10:05.
Yeah, and, you know, I heard you talk about that. You never know who you're going to run into over there.
Never know who you're going to run into.
All right, Maxie, have fun in San Antonio.
Hey, you can let me go here. I'm going to let you here. I want you to, you can fade the commercial on this, okay? We got some serenading going on here at the restaurant.
If you think with
me. All right, there
he is. San Antonio.
There he is, Mike Max in San Antonio for the Final Four. We got the Wolves on the radio tomorrow night. Once again, the Wolves and Mavericks from Dallas. Bit up the road from San Antonio. Our coverage begins at 7, tip 7:30 here on the home of the Wolves. Twins return to the radio on Saturday. Twins Magazine at 4:30, including former Twins catcher, one of the heroes of the 91 World Champs, Brian Harper, now the hitting instructor with the Toledo Mud Hens, and Doug Minkiewicz is his manager at Toledo. Ron Gardenhire, now the manager in Detroit. That'll be interesting to catch up. Brian Harper, really a nice guy, will join us on the Twins Magazine and much, much more this Saturday afternoon. Pregame 5:30 and the first pitch at 6:05 with Corey Provis and Dan Gladden. Kyle Gibson gets the start in Game 2 of the season and Game 2 of the series with the Birds in Baltimore. It's 8:49, 11 minutes now in front of 9 here on Sports to the Max. And when it's time for your next vehicle, go to MaplewoodToyota.com first. Thanks so much for joining us here on a Thursday night. As we heard, Mike Max in San Antonio for the Final Four, settling in there. And we'll hear from Mike again tomorrow. And I would assume we'll check in on Saturday and then the Sports Huddle on Sunday. Dave Mona's away. Sports Huddle with Sid and Maxie. I think I'll be in studio in case. Sunday morning between 9:30 and 11, and then we have the Twins and Orioles final game of the three-game set with our coverage beginning at 11, first pitch at noon. And how good does that sound, Al Malmberg? The Twins on CCO again. Even though they got beat in the opener, it sure is good to hear the Twins on the CCO.
Yeah, but it was a good game, wasn't it?
Yeah,
top of the ninth, and they tie it up. They load the bases up. Base hit drives in two runs. And suddenly we find ourselves in extra innings, and I thought, what a great first game to begin the season. Just fun. How do you not love that?
Oh, yeah, and it was great to see Jake Odorizzi, who came over from the Rays, pitch so well. Six shutout innings. It was a real pitcher's duel. The game was sailing along, and then Robbie Grossman, as you pointed out, the big two RBI single in the ninth. It went into extra innings, and then Fernando Rodney gave up the home run, but 3-2 and 11. But it was just great. As a matter of fact, in that ninth inning, I found a spot downtown, and I sat in my car and listened to the Twins in that ninth inning tie up the ball game, and then I made the quick walk into the studio. But it's just great. It's such a good fit, the Twins and CCO.
It's natural. Yeah. It's the only way I can put it. I mean, there was just something that was off when the Twins weren't on CCO. It just I don't know. It was as a Twins fan, it was frustrating to not be able to get the Twins, you know, throughout the Midwest on one radio station. And it's just so great to have them back. It really is. Sunday morning, that's gonna be fun to listen to that. And I'm envious of Maxie to be there for the Final Four.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun to attend that?
And it's going to be here in the Twin Cities again next year. That is a great event. Now, as I pointed out with Maxie, it's not quite the Super Bowl, but it's still a big deal. And that's going to be a good show in a year when the Final Four comes to town.
It's huge. There are two basketball teams that I follow during the regular season in at the college level, and that's the Gophers and CSU. And I try to catch as many of the games as I can, which is a lot, and I really enjoy it. And it's fun when it comes down to March Madness to see the collegiate level. There's just something that's so entertaining and so much fun to watch about it. Is it the purity, Steve? Is that what it is? And is there purity at the NCAA level at this point?
In some programs, probably not, but I think Loyola Chicago is exactly what the sport needed at this point in time. Sure, you've got Villanova and Kansas and one and Michigan out of the Big Ten, but that Loyola Chicago story, and you've got the nun who's
98
with the program. Yeah, I mean that is just that Cinderella story that you get in college sports from time to time is just phenomenal.
I'm wondering if Sid is thinking about, well, she's a nun, he can't ask her out, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose. both 98.
98,
We've talked about Sid a number of times. It is extraordinary. And he wishes he could be at the Final Four with Maxine. It's not going to work out, but he'll be in studio at 9:30 on Sunday morning, bright and early. By the way, Al, before we run out of time, we want to find out what's coming up on the big show tonight.
A couple of things. We're going to tell you about an attempted robbery of a home in Tennessee last night. It turned deadly for the bad guys, and we'll tell you about that. We're also going to tell you about a South Carolina boy who is being called a hero after he used a car jack to save a man from being completely crushed by his car. Amazing story, Steve.
Wow. Look forward to it, Al. Now, trivia later. Is that tonight?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. That'll be in the last hour of the show. Full contact trivia, where we pit you against other people as you attempt to make mincemeat out of each other. Always fun.
All right, Al. Look forward to the program. Always good to visit with you.
Yeah, and you and I haven't really talked since the off-season acquisitions of Kirk Cousins and Richardson on the defensive line. Are you as excited as everybody else?
I'm kind of taking a wait-and-see approach on Kirk Cousins.
Really?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll put it that way. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, cautiously optimistic, but not much beyond that. 35 now in the cities. We have the news and the weather and Al coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.